Sitting comfortably? Good. Now we'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for the ministry that you have put on Sarah's heart, for the ministry, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit works through her. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just soften our hearts to receive what she has to say, that the arrows in her words, Lord, would reach their targets, Lord, the bits in ours that you want us to hear. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just bless us as she speaks to us. But, Lord, let us also receive and take on board, Lord, of the stuff that she has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There you go.
Fab. Thank you very much indeed. Mark says I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. So I hang out at a place called The Living Well, where I'm the chaplain, which is the Diocesan Centre for Healing and Wholeness. And so I get to come out to all sorts of fascinating places. Yesterday I was in Kilndown, which is probably about as far as you can get in terms of the Diocese of Canterbury from where I hang out in Nonnington. And on Wednesday I was in Lydd on the Marshes, and today here I am in nearly Maidstone. I'm probably not allowed to say that, am I? but anyway, and part of what I do is share God's message of healing and love and light into all our lives, and have an amazing team that help me to do that. And then we also have days at the Living Well where people come and we pray with them, and sometimes we have a thing called the Deeper Healing Day, where you just know that you've been nudged by God to do a piece of work on your own healing journey, and you come to the Living Well for the day and talk about stuff and are listened to and prayed with, and it's all set within the context of worship. So I think that's kind of more than enough about me, really. I've got two passages that I want us to look at today. One is about the paralyzed man, and the other is about the woman with the hemorrhage. And I wondered if, to start with, somebody could read Matthew 9, verses 2 to 7. I can see people standing up or getting there. And if somebody's, happy to think about the Luke one, which would be great.
I've got the Matthew 9 here. Oh, I will have in a second. Matthew chapter 9, verses
2 to 7, the healing of the paralytic, please.
Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, go home." And the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. And as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth.
No, stop.
I thought so. That Sorry. Was nine. Right, yep. Okay.
Sorry. Stop, I don't want to hear about Matthew, but that's fine. Could we? Well, not today. I do want to hear about Matthew, but not today. Could we have the other reading as well? Because then I can be talking about the two of them. So the second reading is Luke 8, 43 to 48. Could somebody come and read that? Yep, fab, thank you.
Luke 8.
Or 40.
As Jesus went along, people crowding from every side.
As Jesus went along, the people were crowding him from every side. Among them was a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. She came up in the crowd behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the people are all around you and crowding in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew it when power went out of me." The woman saw that she had been found out. So she came trembling and threw herself at Jesus' feet. There, in front of everybody, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been healed at once. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
Thank you both very much indeed. These are two healing stories, so you might guess that I'd want to talk about healing and share something with you from both of them. And I've chosen these because one's about a bloke and one's about a woman, so that seemed to me like kind of a fair genderish sort of balance that might be important to people here at Junction. It's certainly important to me. And in this first reading, where we have this man who's paralyzed, he's carried in the other versions in Luke and Mark, his friends bring him. And part of our journey with Christ is often walking alongside people who are hurting, or bringing people who we know who are hurting to the feet of Jesus. And there are times in all of our lives when we need those people in our lives who will bring us to Jesus. And I'm sure there have been times in all our lives when others have brought us, and whatever it is that's paralyzing us, to Jesus' feet. And, you know, we kind of think this paralyzed man, I always have a sort of picture of, you know, he's on a sort of sheet with bamboo poles and being carried by his mates, as it were, to Jesus. So there's a sense for me that this is a physical paralysis. But actually, we can be paralyzed emotionally and spiritually as badly. And sometimes the things that can paralyze us emotionally are traumas from the past. Things that have happened to us, not that we've done to others, but that they have done to us, where power has been stripped away. And part of that paralysis, in response to a very fearful situation, we all do this. This isn't something that's peculiar, thank you God, to me, but we all do this. If we're in a terrifying situation, if a guy walks through that door with a couple of guns and starts firing at us, we will go into the animal kingdom response, which is to freeze, or to get ready to run, or to get ready to fight. And when we do that, all the sort of energy and all our systems stop doing things in our digestive system and stop our thinking about what am I going to have for lunch today, or can I make it to Laysdown, do I know where it is, but actually go into the situation of coping with what's right in front of you. That can be a kind of paralysis. And it's great. It's a really good response if something terrifying is happening. What can happen is that we can learn that response even when the terrifying isn't happening. So we then can find ourselves being sort of frightened because something's horrible's happened to us when we went shopping. I was talking to somebody the other day and she got caught in a lift and she won't now go into a lift. So we adapt our behaviour and start to avoid. And that can be part of what can paralyse us emotionally. We can be paralysed spiritually. We've had some lovely songs this morning about God's grace and our sins being washed away. And as we stand and sing those, and as we dare to believe what God in Christ has done for us, sometimes the hardest thing is to forgive ourselves. I think relationships are the hardest thing we do, and I think forgiveness in any kind of relationship is as tough as it gets. And in the work that I'm privileged to do, in the journey that I share with people, sometimes my question isn't, you've got to forgive, because I don't think that's helpful at all. I think, I know I can't, so it's kind of like, you know, not very fair to say, you know, got to, you know, your healing won't happen until you, you know, get on with the forgiveness that God wants you to do, sort of judgmentally. I think the question is, do you believe in a God of forgiveness? And if I can say yes to that, then that might be as good as it gets for now. That might be as good as it gets for now. Yes, I can believe in a God of forgiveness. And if I can believe in a God of forgiveness, maybe I can put this person, this situation, at the foot of the cross and trust Jesus to deal with it. And walk in the knowledge that God is going to be a better justice maker than I am. Because really, left to myself, I want to beat this person up. I had a recent experience last week, and the team will laugh at this, they know this story. We were moving, my daughter, and she was moving into a garage that we own in Portsmouth, and all her stuff was going into this garage for storage for a few months. And we got there, and somebody had parked their car in front of our garage. I was an unhappy being, okay? I was even more unhappy when the neighbour told my husband that they'd gone on holiday. And we could not open the garage door. Well, I stomped about and, you know, did all the sort of usual. And I thought, no, I mustn't curse them. And I really ought to be blessing them. And I'm supposed to be a good Christian. But really, you know, I discovered various things. I discovered that the police won't tow a car away unless they want it for a forensic, you know. So I really need to go and put some drugs in this car and say, now you need to tow the car away. And I also discovered that the tow truck company wouldn't tow the car away because I didn't own it. So if you want to be nasty to somebody, you can't arrange for their car to be towed away, by the way, which is probably quite a good thing. So I was still an unhappy person. And so eventually I rang up the the letting agent, and tried to be not too cross. I was very cross. Said that this wasn't good enough, and I assumed that they had a key to the house, and could they please come and get their key to the house and find this man's car keys, which were no doubt hidden somewhere in his house, and move his blank, blank car. Weren't sure they could do that, but they did manage to get hold of the gentleman who said he was landing at Luton at 11 o'clock. So he would be moving his car in the afternoon. And my husband and kids were turning up with the furniture at about 3. The car got moved at 20 to 3. Thank you, God. But I have to say, I still think I'm a work in progress in terms of forgiving the man. And I'm certainly a work in progress in praying blessing on him. But it's less in my head than it was this time last week when I was fit to be tied. But there is something, isn't there, about the reality of being forgiven and forgiving others. And sometimes the hardest thing is to forgive ourselves. Yes, I can believe in a God of forgiveness. Yes, I can put this situation. Thank you, God, he came back in time. Thank you that he wasn't actually stopped on the motorway and his family were fine and he wasn't going somewhere that, you know, so I did manage those prayers eventually. But actually, can I forgive me? And in this story of the paralyzed man, Jesus doesn't just heal his paralysis, whatever it's from. He doesn't say to him, it's fine, I'm Jesus, you know, you're healed now of your paralysis. It's interesting he doesn't say that. He says, son, Son, your sins are forgiven. And you think, well, that's a bit of an odd thing to say, isn't it? You know, the guy's paralyzed. Surely he just wants to get up and walk. And, you know, the scribes and Pharisees all get very uptight about all this and, you know, who is Jesus? Well, we know about that, don't we? We're always meeting people who wonder who Jesus is and how he does stuff. When you find out, can you let me know? I just know he does and I believe that he does. And in saying that, I think Jesus healed this man from far more than what was physically paralyzing him. He healed him at the deepest point of this man's need. He healed him physically. He healed him emotionally. And he healed him spiritually. And by calling him son, he restored him into community. Wow. I want some of that, don't you? Yeah. I want some of that. So if there's a sense for you that you're longing to be restored into that love of Christ, into community, into knowing something of that forgiveness for yourself, then you too can come, because Jesus longs to bring that kind of healing to each and every one of us. And as I say, I'm very privileged in the ministry that God's called me to and sharing with people. And we often say as members of the team that people share something of their story, and we try and get out of the way and let Jesus bring his touch of healing. And I saw somebody a while ago, and she was talking about really a real emotional and partly spiritual paralysis within her family. And as she was leaving, she said, "Oh, and Sarah, will you just pray for my back as well?" So I tried not to kind of raise my eyes to heaven and said, "Yes, of course, I'd love to pray for your back as well." So I prayed for her back. And a few days later, I got an email saying, hi. And what you didn't know was that I was going to the hospital the next day for a whole raft of tests for my osteoporosis. They found nothing. Yes. And she went on to say, thank you, God. And if God, who in an afterword healed me of that physical stuff, then I am sure he's already on the case, as it were, for what I asked for. And her family were all in South Africa. So a couple of months later, I had an email which was entitled, Being in My Own Eyes. And in it, she said, the healing that happened within the family was way, way beyond even my expectations or dreams or hopes. And she said, I now am in my own eyes. That was a real restoration and healing for her. And if we think about the second story, where this woman has been ostracized from society, that's what would have happened to her. She was bleeding. She would not have been allowed to be out and about. It would be like having, I don't know, something very infectious like scarlet fever or something like that. She would not have been allowed out and about. You know, no, you can't go to school. No, you can't be out and about. And she'd heard that Jesus was there. And there's a huge crowd. So imagine yourself, I don't know, in a football stadium as you're leaving, or on the London Underground at rush hour. And she knows that Jesus is there, and she's determined to get to him. I always, in my head, I always imagine this woman to be small. My sister's tiny, really, and so we always laugh about that. But she can always somehow wiggle her way through things in a way that I have to just, you know, elbow my way, as it were. And it's kind of like she wiggled her way through, it feels to me, and got to Jesus, thinking, if I just touch him, just want to touch him. I've tried everything else. I'm at my wit's end. I'm gonna break every rule there is and be out and about. I'm just gonna touch Jesus. And Jesus knows that that's happened. And it's not just that, you know, power had gone out of him, as the Bible says, but he knows that there is somebody who is needing far more than just to touch him. And so he says, you know, somebody touched me. And the disciples say, look, don't be daft. You know, it's a crowd here. Everybody's touching you. We're all kind of touching you. For heaven's sake, don't be so silly. And he says, no, somebody touched me. And it's kind of like somebody touched me who I need to have a conversation with. Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, sometimes to ask for prayer. Takes a lot of courage to fight your way to touch Jesus. And so the sort of disciples must have thought, oh, well, he's on one of his, you know, moments. We'll just shut up. And so he says, who touched me? And she must have been wanting to die at that moment, mustn't she, don't you think? Oh, no. You know, I thought I could just come, do this quietly and go. You know, it's like I just wanted to scrape in at the back of church and sit quietly and go. I didn't really want anybody to say, oh, hello and welcome and how are you? And, you know, I can't handle any of that stuff at the moment. I just need to be, you know. Anyway, so Jesus calls her out, as it were, and says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. So, again, we have that complete healing, that complete restoration. Yes, her bleeding has stopped, but it's far more than that. It's kind of like he lifts her up into this crowd of people and gives her status. You know, you are my precious, precious child. I love you. That's what he's saying. Daughter, be healed. Your faith has restored you. And all the community around would have accepted her and welcomed her and treated her differently from that day on. And when Jesus brings that kind of healing to our lives, that's way beyond the physical, but is emotional and spiritual, we are restored into that place of, as she said in her email, being in my own eyes. We are restored into being that child of the King. We are restored into being son. Your sins are forgiven you. Daughter. Wow. Can you just imagine for a moment that Jesus himself is saying to each one of us, son, daughter, I love you. I want to bring healing. I want to bring something into those wounded places that are part of your life. I want to bring restoration. I want to enable you to either take up your mat and walk or re-engage in community in which you've been called. And for me, our healing journey is something that we're always engaged in. It's not ever done and dusted. I don't stand here because I'm more healed or less wounded than anybody else. It's an ongoing journey of faith. And it's an ongoing process. And God in Christ is always longing to give us the more. Dare we come to Christ for the more he wants to give us? Lord, I want more of you in my forgiveness journey. Lord, I want more of you in what's preventing me, because the memories of the past are overwhelming me. and I want to be able to walk free. Dare we come wanting more of that place of restoration and that promise of just touching Jesus. When I feel the touch of your hand upon my heart, it causes me to sing a song. I know, I don't know very much, but I do know that Christ longs to bring those kinds of moments and promises and healing to us. Philip Yancey says, at the centre of Jesus' parables of grace stands a God who takes the initiative towards us, a lovesick father who returns and runs to meet the prodigal, a landlord who cancels a debt, an employer who pays the 11th hour workers the same as the first hour, a banquet giver who goes into the highways and byways in search of undeserving guests. And I would want to say, and someone who knows what touch of his we need in our lives this day. Lord, I just ask that you would give us the courage to seek you. And if we have lots of stuff to get through to get there, like both these characters in the story, we ask for friends who'll help us, carrying us at times like the friends of the paralyzed man did. We ask for gaps in the crowds where we can move unhidden, unseen, to seek you. And give us the courage to, in seeking you, stand on the promises of your touch, your healing words, and your restoration of us into being that loved, precious child of God. May we know that we are children of the King. I am a daughter, a son of the King. And walk in that this and every day. Amen.